Chapter 13, Crime and Criminal Justice. The opening quote in Chapter 13 reminds readers that not all crimes involve violence or end with a body chalk outline. Some crimes are bloodless, perpetrated with pens and calculators, but still these crimes have victims, and sometimes stunning consequences. The term white-collar crime has been used to refer to corporate or occupational crimes, criminal acts committed in the course of legitimate occupational or financial activity. In this podcast, we take a closer look at what might be the largest and most costly white-collar crime in U.S. history. In March 2009, Bernard Madoff, a former chairman of NASDAQ, pled guilty to 11 felony counts, including securities fraud, money laundering, and perjury, part of a massive Ponzi scheme to defraud clients for up to $65 billion. Madoff Securities was a family business run by Madoff and his brother, and later with Madoff's two sons. A trustee overseeing the liquidation of Madoff's company revealed that not a single investment was made on behalf of his clients for more than 13 years. Time magazine reporter Alex Altman described Madoff's crime as an example of how savvy market makers can harness arcane financial instruments as weapons of mass destruction. Madoff was under house arrest at his Manhattan penthouse throughout the government investigation, but was remanded to jail after pleading guilty. Madoff's scam has been compared to the crimes of junk bond dealer Michael Milken and Enron executives Jeffrey Skilling and Kenneth Lay. Milken pled guilty to 6 securities and reporting felonies in 1990. He served 22 months of his 10-year sentence. Skilling and Lay were convicted for securities and wire fraud in 2004. Skilling is currently serving a 24-year, 4-month sentence in federal prison, while Lay died at age 64 before his sentencing. The Madoff case is credited with leading to the investigation and arrest of other fraudulent money managers. Florida hedge fund manager Arthur Nadel is accused of defrauding investors of $350 million. Attorney Mark Dreyer was charged with stealing $400 million in a hedge fund scam. Authorities believe that Texas billionaire R. Allen Stanford perpetrated a $9.2 billion investment fraud scheme in the U.S. and abroad. The Securities Investors Protection Corporation, an industry-funded organization established by U.S. Congress in 1970, has been examining thousands of claims from Madoff's victims. The corporation helps individuals whose money, stocks, and other securities are stolen by a broker or put at risk when a brokerage fails. Most victims are likely to recoup between $100,000 to $500,000 of their investment. Madoff's victims include international banks and management firms, celebrities, schools, charitable nonprofit foundations, as well as individual investors. One of the victims of Madoff's scheme was the Foundation for Humanity, founded by Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. Most of the foundation's assets, about $15.2 million, was managed by Madoff Investment Securities. When Madoff's crimes were revealed, the foundation stated, "The values we stand for are more needed than ever. We shall not be deterred from our mission to combat indifference, intolerance, and injustice around the world." The foundation vowed to go on. In March 2009, Wiesel was asked what punishment Madoff should receive. He responded, "I would like him to be in a solitary cell with a screen, and on that screen, for at least 5 years of his life, every day and every night, there should be pictures of his victims, one after the other after the other. All the time a voice saying, 'Look what you have done to this old lady. Look what you have done to that child. Look what you have done.'" Now it's your turn. In this chapter's audio and video archives listing, you can access National Public Radio's story, From Milken to Madoff, White-Collar Crime in Focus. The report examines what lessons we've learned from these white-collar criminals. What do you think? As a society, what lesson have we learned?